Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. With us in studio, this is something I've been looking forward to for quite some time, is getting Ken Sovereign here for an extended interview about the Iowa Association it's AARP. And
RP is all about real possibilities.
It is now. So this whole thing has changed. Ken Sovereign, welcome to the News Hour.
Well, thanks, Michael. Always great to be with you.
So what is this rebranding thing that AARP is
going? Well, we've been at it now for a few years.
Right.
And AARP was originally founded as the American Association of Retired Persons.
Right.
And it grew out of the National Retired Teachers Association, actually, way back in the 50s. You know, originally it was retired teachers, and then it expanded to
retired everybody. Yeah.
And then folks, even young as 55, 50, then said, hey, we'd like to check it out as an organization. And so we opened it up for everyone 50 plus. And more than half of our members are still in the workforce. And increasingly, we're going to talk a little bit about growth and development and economic development. The older worker is an increasing percentage of the workforce and increasing – we call it the longevity economy – an increasing part of the state economy, of the local economies. And with four generations now in the workforce.
It's amazing.
There's a lot
isn't it?
Of adaptation that employers, communities, employees have to do to make working, making living, making recreating great for people of all ages.
Yeah, and I think this whole change that AARP has been through is really embracing people of all ages. And getting people to understand some differences, but also the similarities. I'm always struck by, you know, there was all this talk early on about how different millennials were than baby boomers. And we're finding out that in actuality, we've got a lot of stuff in common.
Absolutely. We are about ready to unveil what we call the Convergence Report. What we did was we asked folks that were 60 plus, what are the elements of a livable community, of an age-friendly community that you'd like to see? And we asked those same questions of the under 35. And to a large extent, less reliance on an automobile, living closer to the action, places to recreate and have fun, social engagements, intergenerational social engagements, great places for shopping, for cultural events, that sort of thing. The under 35, the over 60,
same.
So you see an amazing growth, for example, of housing in the downtown core as well as in the near core, which we call missing middle housing that's being infilled. Interesting, we're beginning those conversations too with the suburban communities, figuring out what's next for their housing. You know, it's not that living on a cul-de-sac in a single-family detached is any less attractive, but at least a significant portion of the population want other alternatives that, frankly, haven't been built since, frankly, post-war, post-World War II.
Well, we were talking about missing middle housing not too very long ago, and one of the curious things here in the city core of Des Moines is that all of these apartment complexes or townhomes or that are now high rises, they're attracting two types of people, empty nesters and millennials.
Yep. It's amazing, isn't it?
They're loving
living with each other.
Yeah.
Now, condo living is not for everybody. Townhome living is not for everybody. But you do find that, when you get into your upper 60s, maybe early 70s, maybe I want to be closer to the action. Maybe I don't want so many stairs. Maybe I don't want the lawn to deal with. So a portion of those folks are going to different kind of living. One of the things that surprised me, I just learned this a week ago, is that when you think about senior housing, often you think about the places that are built for the 50-plus population. And do you know less than 5% of seniors actually live in
there,
those kinds of housing? I thought it was a much larger number.
No.
Kind of rolling back to your first question,
Michael,
about 5.5 years ago, AARP was really – pretty much seen as a national organization that was headquartered out of Washington in the state capitals. And our vision, our mission for the last 4.5 years has been to show up locally, show up in communities with pocketbook issues, you know, saving you money, that sort of thing, and with this whole livable community strategy.
Well, there's another thing that AARP has taken on to a great extent, and that's actually visiting with legislation across the United States and pushing some very key agenda items there as well. Ken Sovereign, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and tomorrow he is going to be speaking at the launch of the Windsor Heights Chamber of Commerce Lunch and Learn. The chamber over there hasn't done one of these in some time, and so we were fortunate enough to get Kent to talk about livable communities. And we're going to give you a preview of some of those things right now. Kent, I'm really looking forward to not only that event tomorrow, but to hear what you've got to say about the economic driver that communities can be if they adopt some of these things.
Well, this organization, the Windsor Heights Chamber Lunch and Learn, we're going to field test, if you will, a new tagline for our age-friendly community effort, our livable communities effort, and that is healthy places, healthy people.
Got it.
And we mean healthy places, not just physical health, although that's very important, but the design of places that improve the economic health of a city,
see,
of a county.
And that is where you're going to catch a lot of interest from the obvious business community.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then, Michael, and that's the story of my life. But here's what – let me take you back about 6-7 years. Remember the movie Up, Carl Fredrickson?
Sure.
I took my granddaughters there, and they were much younger then. And I during the first 20 minutes, I thought, what a disaster I've taken. I'm crying like a baby, you know. But you think about Carl hanging on to his home there, and the first 20 minutes lays out what it is that causes us to be attached to a place. It was the physical place itself, the house. And even though the house had become somewhat raggedy, you know,
used,
there was the change in the users of the house, you know, of the environment around him, because his wife passed and then he's there in isolation and loneliness. And then, of course, there was the physical environment that was changing around him with all the growth. And Carl's answer was to fly away, of course, with his balloons and all of that. But you think of what causes us to be attached to a place, whether it's our home, whether it's a nearby park, whether it's a main street. It is all of those things. It's the environment. It's the people that are using it. It is the condition of the infrastructure. And when one or more of those three items get catawampus or disrupted or changed, then suddenly our comfort level about that place, about the users of that place, about the usability of that place. Now, when you think about Windsor Heights, for example, you think about the change several years ago of University Avenue. It really changed who was using that street, the access to the neighborhood businesses, the new Hy-Vee, terrifically busy, terrific economic development. There are real possibilities there to reexamine how that infrastructure disrupted users, disrupted the environment, and I mean that in the broader sense, and disrupted the community in a way that perhaps had some unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. So can we spur some thought tomorrow with the business community and the other people that will be in the room, the political leaders and so forth, to say, hey, what's possible? Let's not dream puny dreams. Let's think about what Carl did to escape his environment. He thought big. Let's blow it up and let's think about how a Windsor Heights, how a Carlisle, how a Valley Junction, how many of these fabulous neighborhoods and communities that surround the central city, how they can become more age-friendly and more livable. Now, the important part of that, as they do, people use the place more. It's more attractive. and the property values go up. The types of businesses that are attracted along your main street change in a way that's positive for the property owner, positive for the shoppers and the consumers, positive for the neighborhoods. And it all hinges on access, walkability, ease of use, visible attractiveness, lots of things like that.
And, you know,
and we're
going
to talk about some of that stuff.
We have seen this play out, Kent, as you well know, even on Ingersoll Avenue. You know, they did away with one of the lanes and they put in a bike lane. And well, rental rates along Ingersoll Avenue have steadily climbed. So there's something going on with regard to the livability of that area.
One of the – well, let's go back to the 60s. And when we
sure.
What were we preparing for in the 60s? It was the onslaught of our generation coming up, being homeowners, being car owners, getting from one place to another
as fast as possible.
Yeah. So much of our design – planning and design of cities, design of the infrastructure around cities was getting place to place. It was – we surrendered to the automobile. And I'm – and this is not – I'm not casting shade on anybody. This is what we wanted.
Sure.
This is what we wanted. We
all
wanted –
all car-centric.
Yeah, that's right. Now we're thinking of what were the unintended consequences of that. Well, speed kills a lot of things. It kills people. But it also kills businesses along Main Street. The faster the traffic goes, you know, and
the less time you have
to observe, to slow down, to park, to engage. And so let's think about some of those things. We've rethought, if you will. And again, it's much of it, as you mentioned, the millennials saying, wait a minute.
There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way. Yeah. There's got to be a better use of our resources and a better use of the environment. So imagine that if we think about walking as the first mode of locomotion instead of the last mode of locomotion, suddenly our perspective, and that's when we talk about putting lenses in, a new lens. You know, when you go to the optician, yeah, they'll click in a lens. Is this better? Which is better, A or B? We'd like folks to begin slipping an age-friendly lens in or an aging and all planning lens in as they think about development, as they think about their neighborhood, as they think about their home. Imagine if when you left your house, you thought of it as you're entering the park system and everything that is in the built environment outside your home is part of the park system. Wouldn't that change your perspective?
We are so fortunate. So, I live in Windsor Heights, Kent, and one of the cool things, the trail system goes right by our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so more often than not, we get on the bicycles to go to the Windsor Heights Hy-Vee with a trailer on the back of the bicycle to do shopping. I mean, why not?
Why not?
You know, it's a mile and a half. Easy sneezy, you know, but that does, that experience does open up more possibilities.
But think of yourself 6 or 8 years from now.
Right.
And maybe it's not the bicycle. Maybe you'll still be using the multi-use trail and pulling that trailer over. But imagine somebody on the other side of University Avenue and what they have to battle to get across an intersection. How many signaled stops are there? I mean, there's so many things
to consider.
There's lots of things to consider. And the most important thing, too, as far as a business is concerned, is will an improvement or will a change improve, increase, or decrease the likelihood of customers coming to my business?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if I were the manager of the Hy-Vee, that would be top of – or anywhere along those properties along University. And certainly was it called Apple Valley?
Mm-hmm.
It's still called Apple Valley.
Yes, it is.
That development, I'd be very interested to see how changes would affect my business. But the important thing is to disrupt or break what we might think are the traditional ways of measuring that or the traditional ways. Oh, if I lose parking, it's going to decrease my business. Well, maybe.
Maybe
not. It depends on what is going on in that space that used to be parking.
Yeah. Kent Sovereign, ladies and gentlemen, with Iowa AARP. And if you've noticed, this conversation is all centered mostly on the economics of communities. We're not talking about aging in place necessarily, although that is one of the topics that he would love to talk about at some point. But we are talking about creating an environment in a community, whatever community that happens to be, that is not only age-friendly but age-appropriate and has more of a mobility issue. And AARP is not the only group working on this. This is all across the spectrum. The Metropolitan Planning Organization has been working on that. The city of Des Moines is working on that. They're taking a look at Grand Avenue from the river to Pennsylvania Avenue, readjusting that. And we've already talked about what's gone on in Ingersoll. 42nd Street is also taking a look at new ways.
Sixth Avenue. And the new Plan DSM, as it's known, mm-hmm. the comprehensive plan, we've been very involved in that all the way from the beginning. And every age-friendly criteria we ask for, the city council, the planners, the people who designed that plan are in there. Now the important thing is converting that objective, that policy into actual legal language and put it in municipal code so that then the developers know the ground game.
Right.
But, you know, we thank heaven for the Greater Des Moines Partnership, for Urban Land Institute, for AARP, for the MPO, for all of the great Capital Crossroads organizations, all the great organizations in the metro are pulling together. And now that we've seen some success in Des Moines proper, we'd really like to engage our members, engage the community, particularly in Carlisle and Windsor Heights and Valley Junction, to see what's possible there.
Mm, good stuff. Kent Sovereign, ladies and gentlemen, you just got a preview of what he's going to be talking about tomorrow. He's going to be trying this out tomorrow in front of a live audience. Yeah, well, it'll be fine.
Well, you know, one of the other things I'd like to talk about real quick, Michael, is the Fun with Purpose activities we have. And we have a movie for grown-ups screening on the 22nd of March, 7 p.m. at the Fleur Cinema, a wonderful award-winning movie, Jackie, starring Natalie Portman. I hope we'll see you there.
And we will have links to all of those things. All right, we've got to clear on out of here for all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour. Tyler Hackenmiller is on the controls tonight, as he is each and every night. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. And the music that you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. We will be back, God willing, at 5:05 tomorrow. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.